Good evening. I hope everybody is well. Good evening.
Hello. This is Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you all?
I'm fine. Had problems, but I'm fine.
Give me a second.
Say again.
So give me a second to get started.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Epic of Co-op. Another co-op. Capricorn, and the Bet that created this planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria of 72, which connects us to the 72 names of God, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, and the Sefirah of Chochmah, which translates as wisdom. I'm reading a verse from Samuel Betts. This on the microphone, lay on the feet, I am. Sadi Vishakan. Sadi Vishakan. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading a verse from the Parasha of Vayera in the Zohar. It's verse number 152 in this section 17. And the river shall bring forth frogs and swarms. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh eden ufananeh aleinu ma'aseh eden ufananehu. V'tachatzei lav she'ata tadayihi dekakat alayhu ha'Yisrael ela bekol zimna v'zimna di'inun begaluta u'gineka. O tu chabrihu garam lon kala lamitzrayei diktiv v'hayta tze'aka gedola b'kol eretz mitzrayim asher kamohu lo nihiyeta v'gomer v'zamin lon kalim Acharanim de'inun, Ur de'anin de'raman, Kalim de'mahu, Wahawo nafle, Bashwa ke'metim. Come and see. She did not just weep over Israel just once, but rather every moment they were in exile. For the reason they blemished the voice which was done gone from Rachel. The Holy One, blessed be He, brought about a voice to the Egyptians to punish them, as it is written. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it. He also arranged for them other voices in these frogs that raised their voices in their intestines. So they fell dead in this marketplace. The Midrash teaches us that a single frog came out of the Nile River. And when an Egyptian tried to kill that frog because it was in its house and it walked down Main Street into somebody's home or business, and somebody took a broom and tried to kill the frog. And what happened is the frog split into six frogs. And then each of those six, when someone tried to kill it, would split into six frogs. And that's how the swarms of frogs developed, all from the unified single frog that came out of the Nile River. This verse is talking about Rachel, who was crying that her children, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 70 people that went with Jacob into Egypt, whenever they left the land of Israel and went down to the land of Egypt, Rachel was crying every second of that period of exile. Every second of any exile, Rachel is crying. And she is unwilling to be appeased by the statement, the promise from the Creator, that He will redeem her David. She is crying until that redemption takes place, until the children of Israel are returned to the land. This verse in the Zohar is bringing these two aspects together and talking about a level of consciousness called voice. Now we think, most people think, that the Zohar is speaking about the way someone talks. Someone talks from their voice box. Someone makes speech. And someone makes words. So these are three levels of consciousness. But that is not what is being spoken about, how we speak from our voice boxes. It's talking about a particular sephirah. It's talking about the three levels of the columns, the right, left, and central. Does anybody have any questions? This is the second class in the Olivet series of classes. As I've said before, this will probably be about 30 or more classes. It is the first handout, but if you go to the Revealed Wisdom page and go to class number 2 and click on the link for the handout number 2, it will bring you to the first handout, and it will open up at the level called Union. We did not finish the first handout in the last class, and this is where we are picking up. But before I start, I just want to be clear. Does anybody have any questions about the last class or about any other subject? Because we're starting with an understanding that you have become aware of that first class and the material in it. So we won't bring on that to duplicate the teachings unless necessary. Union. The ultimate goal of creation is the complete revelation of God on all levels. In this rectified state, the giver and receiver are perfectly aligned. The movement of creation towards this rectified state is characterized by various kinds of joining and pairing of the various parts Sufim, some of which are more involved in giving, while others are more associated with receiving. The supreme example of creative interaction, giving and receiving, is when man and wife align and join together in holy union, called Yichud, to bring a child who will unite in one being essential qualities of both. They accomplish this through Chibur, joining together, or in Zivug, cooperative interaction. My commentary. This is the first time that I have looked at these two words in Hebrew. The gematria relationship is very revealing and informative. Chibur is 216, which is the Hebrew word aryeh, or lion, which is an icon and represents the children of Israel. It is also the number of the letters in the 72 names. Zivug has a gematria of 18, which is well known to be the number for life. Yehud has a gematria of 28, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word koach, which means strength and or power. When we put two letters together, or more than two letters together, when we intertwine them, we are bringing these three different aspects, the Yichud, the Zivug, and the Chibur, into play. Each letter represents a Sefirah. Each letter represents a creative aspect. Each letter represents, metaphorically and actually, different aspects for us to learn and understand and unify with. This is what this section is talking about. Returning to the translation. In a person's inner spiritual life, the giver is God, the person or the soul is the receiver. If we're talking about husband and wife, the receiver is the wife, while the children are the person's spiritual achievements and good deeds. A yichud, a holy union, comes about when the receiver joins him or herself to God. One makes oneself the vessel for godly lights by binding all of one's limbs and faculties to his service and filling one's mind and soul with the words of prayer coming from one's mouth into one's ears. When a person makes him or herself a vessel for godly lights on the level of thought, or on the level of word, or on the level of action, the Shekhinah, the indwelling presence, is aligned to receive from the king, the Melech. When this unification, Brit Yehud, comes about, the receiving partsuf of Nukva, the Malchut partsuf, the female is assigned to receive from Zeranjin, the male is aligned, not assigned, aligned to receive from Zeranjin, the male. On the level of the names of the two parts of theme involved, this union is expressed through the joining of the two divine names. Yo-he-wa-he, Adanu-yo. This is the four-letter name of God, Yod-he-vav-he, and the four-letter name of God, Aleph-Dalet-Nun-Yod, to form new power combinations. One of the better known examples of how these two names may be joined together is through a shiluv, interweaving the letters of the two names as they become Yo-he-nu-wa-da-he-a-i-o, or they can be interweaved in the following way. Hey, oh, ah, nu, hey, da, yo, ah. And that these names are printed in certain Sephardic prayer books, also in certain Ashkenazi, but they're relatively few. Those who know the meaning of these shiluvim may visualize and contemplate them at appropriate points in their prayers, thereby giving the giver, unifying the giver, the Holy One, blessed be He, and the receiver, the Shekhinah. The Yehud is bringing together three different levels, three different entities. My commentary. The Shiluv method is much more than unifying the giver, the Holy One, blessed be He, and the receiver, the Shekhinah. A name of anything, whether it is God or a human being or an entity or a thing, has its essence in the Hebrew language. Actually, a name in any language, when transliterated into Hebrew letters and then interweaved or shiluved, creates a unification or a yehud on the spiritual level. What this means is that the energy of one word is moved into the essence of the other word, and vice versa, depending on the word that starts the interweaving. Let me give you an example. The word shalom means peace. When one interweaves my name, Chanoch, with shalom, one is injecting peace directly into my soul. This is because my name is a metaphor for my soul. Here is the letter sequence that is created through the shalom unification. This Shiluv Yehud. Ketchin Nun Lamed Bav Bav Kaf Sofit Mem Sofit. And if I were to pronounce it, it would be Keshinu la wa wa kame. Number and space. It is the union of difference. Was there a question?
Yes, I have a question. I'm sorry to interrupt. But if you're going to
Different interruptions are welcome, Don.
Okay. If you're going to interject a name into a word like peace, you take the first letter of the name and then the first letter of the word. Is there a special order that you have to do it in?
Well, that's what was explained in that section, but I'll clarify it for you. You can move heaven to earth, or you can elevate earth to heaven. If you take two names, you take the word shalom, and you take the word chanoch. Chanoch is a vessel. Relative to the vessel chanoch, shalom is a fulfillment. It's a light. So in that particular case, shalom represents the light, and chanoch represents the vessel. In the particular order that I laid out there, starting with the chet, I am saying that the vessel is being elevated to the light, which is ultimately the goal to receive energy. But the ultimate goal of and job of a human being is to reveal the light of God in the physical world. So it would be better if I had started with the shin to complete that. But which way you do that is a function of what you're trying to accomplish. In reality, and for most practical purposes, it doesn't matter for most people. But people who are on the level of a Kabbalist, it would make a difference because they need to bring the light down. They've already elevated up and cleansed themselves, which is the process. We first must go up in order to bring the light down. And that's why I presented it the way I did. And I hope that clarifies things for you.
I just have to remember which way brings the light. If the first letter is
The way you start, the first letter of the word that represents is whether you are going to go bring the light down or to elevate the vessel up. Since I started with the vessel, with the chet, I was elevating the vessel up to the light.
Okay. And if there's extra letters, where do the extra letters go?
At the end. If there's any extra letters either between the light or the vessel, you interweave them until there's no more letters to interweave, and then you just continue the letters.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
That's all right. Effective tool. It's a tool that is amazing in the power that it generates. If you want someone... Obviously, I have to change the controls totally. If you want to ask a question now, and please feel free to do so, press star 6. This technique of the shilub is an extremely effective technique. If you are someone who's anxious, if you are someone who finds it difficult to remain serene, if you are someone who is constantly agitated, a word like shalom being brought into your vessel will help calm you down. It won't do it automatically. It won't do it immediately. But if you bring that unification into that shiluv, into your life, as part of your prayers, as part of your connections, every time you say the Anapatoach, between the 7th verse and the 8th verse that we say silently, you take that, you create that unification. You literally are strengthening your connection to that energy. Not to that energy as an idol, but as a tool to help you reveal the light of God and strengthen your connection to the Creator. I have many students who have used the word Vadai, which means certainty, in order to overcome anxiety attacks. And they've all said to me, I don't know what happened, but I am reacting so differently. It's been 3 months since I started to use that tool, and I am reacting so differently. It's been a year, and I can't believe the difference in me, in how I react to circumstances that last year I would have gone into an anxiety attack. And this year, I am settled. There's no need to react because my certainty, my sense of peace has increased. Number and space. It is the yahud, or the union of different parts of theme, through the joining and connection of their associated names, that makes the heavenly temple. This will be more understandable if we grasp a very simple point that is the key to the mathematics of the book Mishkanei Elyon. And that book we have been reading for about 3 months, and we'll probably have another month to go on Sunday mornings. So you're welcome to join us there, plus we have the handouts from the previous classes. These involve little more than simple addition and multiplication, referring to the numbers of the letters that are being interweaved, shiluved. The mathematical system of Mishkanei Elyon is what in Hebrew is known as gematria, the study of numbers, or Torah numerologies. Gematria is a Greek word that means numbers. We use gematria, but in reality, we have other Hebrew words that express its essence more significantly. But as a general rule, gematria is the word that we use in everyday discussion. The term gematria is derived from the ancient Greek word for what we call geometry. Actually, geometry and gematria comes from the same root in Greek. It is common knowledge that gematria is the study of the numerical values of the letters and the words of the Hebrew Torah. What is not generally realized is that gematria, like geometry, is also the mathematics of space. And I really should say, in terms of modern consciousness, it's the mathematics of space and the mathematics of time. This is alluded to, hinted to in the Sefer Yetzirah, which says that two stones build two houses, three stones build six houses, four stones build 24 houses. The stones are the letters of the alphabet, the building blocks of creation. The concept of stones or blocks is intrinsically three-dimensional. See the Sefer Yetzirah translated, including the commentary by Rabbi Arya Kaplan, in which he discusses the creation of multidimensional realities. We teach this in our Sefer Yetzirah class. We utilize these stones, meaning code word for the letters. We teach how to utilize these letters in having a personal experience of the Creator at whatever level you have a desire for. There are some people who literally have a desire to be close to the Creator that they can change physical reality. There are others that have a lesser desire than that responsibility. But whatever level you wish can be taught, and I do teach it in the Sefer Yetzirah class, which is on Wednesdays, so feel free to join that class. Geometry, the mathematics of space, was initially a practical science employed by ancient architects as they sought to build more ambitious projects. The Ramchal in the Mishkanei Elyon brings Kabbalistic gematria to the level of sacred architectural geometry, as he explains how interactions between the divine names of the parts of theme, all of which are also numbers, create the space of the holy temple. And another way of saying that is it creates the process of the holy temple. Consider an example of how numbers create space. A room that is 40 feet in length and 20 feet wide and 20 feet high is created by walls of the same length and height. In the language of the Mishkanei Elyon, the floor space of such a room is created through the joining of 40 and 20. Joining being the Hebrew word sibur. Sibur is the Hebrew word for the mathematical relationship expressed by multiplication. We would say that the room is 40 by 20 and 20 high, or 40 by 20 by 20. The mathematics of the Mishkanei Elyon is no more complicated than that. As the Ramchal proceeds with his tour of the various areas of the temple, he shows how each individual hall, chamber, wall, gate, and courtyard appears as a result of the joining together of some or all of the letters of various divine names. These names correspond to the parts, to the Sephirot and the parts of Sufim, which are the midot, the qualities, the measures of chibur, the joining, and the multiplication of the measures that bring into being a three-dimensional space where the axes of length and breadth and height are the three lines or columns of right, left, and central. Chesed, which is kindness, Din, which is judgment, and Rachamim, which is mercy, and balance, which is the Mercy represents balance. I also will make a comment here that I didn't put into writing. When you speak about gematria, there are 10 levels of gematria, and each one of those gematriotes is a different level of consciousness that creates a different dimension that is connected to our physical world, and at the same time is expressing and manifesting it in a different way. An example of that different gematria is very simple to explain, two different levels. Most of the gematria follows what we call the regular gematria. And that's what most of the numbers that I will express. And if I don't tell you which level of gematria it is, I'm referring to the regular gematria. But it can be that the level of gematria follows the ordinal level, which is the order of the Aleph Bet, from Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet all the way through Tav, is 22. The number 1 to 22. So if I take the word shalom, and I didn't do this in advance, and it takes a little bit of time, but the letter shin has a ordinal gematria of 21. It's the 21st letter. The letter lamed is the 12th letter. The letter vav is the 6th letter. The letter mem is the 13th letter. So the ordinal gematria, you can see, is different than the regular gematria. You come up with two numbers, but those two numbers are connected through the consciousness of peace, or those two numbers are creating the dimensions, the space of peace. I'm continuing to read. Yet the Sephirot and the Partzufim hold sway on all levels of creation, spiritual and physical. Numerical relationships between the various names are capable of being expressed in the form of the finite, physical, three-dimensional halls, chambers, gates, and courtyards of the temple in the physical world. The heavenly temple is thus a hologram that exists on a level beyond space as we know it in heaven, and as such it is the very blueprint of creation. Yet this same hologram is destined to actually manifest in physical space in the form of the third temple on earth. This will be the tangible embodiment of the holographic pattern. The key principle governing all of the relationships expressed in the holographic temple is balance between the two sides, the right side of sharing, chesed, kindness, and expansiveness, and the left side of din, judgment, and contraction. Chesed and din, right and left, are the giver and the receiver, male and female, of the Kabbalah equation. Balancing these two sides is the center column of mercy, of rachamim, of compassion. The goal of creation is that God, the master of compassion, should be perfectly revealed on all levels so as to give all creatures their own unique share of pure goodness. This giving requires a state of perfect balance between the giver and the receiver on all levels. This balance is expressed in the form of the halls, and the courtyards of the temple, which is located in the place where all the roots of creation join together. The temple and its services are ordered in such a way that the giver and the receiver join face to face. This way, all the branches, the souls, the angels, and the other orders and levels of created beings reconnect with their roots and receive their respective shares of sustaining Shefa, the energy of goodness that comes from the Creator. My commentary. This section is truly overwhelming. I will discuss it in more detail when the Ramchal describes these aspects in his description with the details of Ezekiel's vision of the third temple. Order. The key to this rectified state of creation is Seder. Order. The temple buildings and courtyards are ordered in space to provide a properly balanced environment for the interaction between giver and receiver. Within this space, the various daily, weekly, monthly festival services constitute an order in time through which this interaction is continually maintained. That's a very long explanation of the concept of cycle. What is the purpose of the cycle? Any cycle. A woman's menstrual cycle, the cycle of the moon, the cycle of the sun, the cycle of the universe. What is the purpose of a cycle has just been explained. It's to keep the giver and the receiver in order, connected to each other, constantly letting the flow of goodness, of Shefa, go from the giver to the receiver. The Ramchal explains the inner meaning of the temple services and their role in bringing Shefa to the souls on their level and to the angels on theirs. All the different ranks and orders have their own designated areas and levels on the Temple Mount and are able to ascend to higher levels at specific times in order to receive their portion of Shefa from the table of the king. The angels ascend through the sacrificial offerings on the outer altar, while the souls ascend through the incense offering on the inner altar. The Ramchal concludes his explanation of the temple buildings and services with a discussion of the various levels of the Temple Mount and the steps that connect them. This links in with the discussion of Shefa, for it is on these steps that the various orders of creation go up to actually receive their share. As the angels in the heavenly temple ascend to receive their Shefa, they chant, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot. Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. And Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam Vayed. Blessed be the glory of God from his place. These verses are recited daily at high points in the Jewish prayer service, which represents a cycle. The Ramchal's explanation of the ascent of the angels provides important keys to the deeper understanding of the prayer services and how they channel Shefa to all the worlds, for the set daily prayers correspond to the temple services, and the order or the Seder that governs them is embedded in the order of prayers, or the Siddur, the traditional Jewish prayer book. My commentary. This section is truly important. This is especially true since many people do not pray in a timely schedule or on an orderly schedule. There are many people who do not understand what they are doing in the spiritual frame and in the flow of Shefa. This is extremely important. Once the tools of Kabbalah begin to be spread more widely, and the depths of this information is taught to many people, there will be more and more people increasing this flow of Shefa and the process of creating unity and order in the universe.